This verse is probably being preached from more pulpits than anywhere in the world. It's traditional that when you're doing patriotism or call for revival or renewal, you do 2 Chronicles 7:14. But I want to lay the background for it and then look at our country in regards to it. Actually, this verse is not a call for revival or renewal. Solomon had finished building the Lord's temple. He had consecrated it and set it aside to the Lord. And God actually, in response to Solomon, made a statement. If we were to read verse 13, in fact, I'm going to read verse 13 to you that precedes this. It says, "If I shut up heaven, that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land." This verse was set in a context of God promising Solomon that any time your sins have become so great that I have to remove my hand of protection or punish you, if you will simply turn back to me, I will heal your land. And today, as we talk about, you know, the 4th of July falling on a Sunday only happens, whatever, 7 years. You got a leap year every 6 years or so. We need to get a few minutes in our hearts to look at our great country, and it is the greatest country in the world. I remember so much, so vividly, when I went through boot camp. About the 6th or 7th week of boot camp, they let us go to a movie. And they're on base. And when we went into the movie, instead of seeing all these commercials or coming movies, they would put the flag up there and play the national anthem. And you had to wear your dress uniform this first time you went to a movie on base. And I can still remember the tears running down my face as I stood in that uniform and the pride I felt for my country. And, you know, it still means a lot to me. I spent 12 years in the service serving this country. But I have great fear of where my country is headed. A great fear. Now, preachers been saying that for a long time, okay? You probably would have heard the same thing from a pastor 50 years ago. But let me tell you the whys I have great fear for my country. Is that I look at the form of government we are adopting, the direction we are headed, and I have a great fear that these are signs that we have forgotten to be grateful to God. I think the greatest failing in America today and in Christians themselves, because folks, understand this, as the Christians in America stand, so the direction this country goes. Understand that. We cannot. There's all kinds of political identities. There's the progressives, the liberals, the moderates, conservatives, social conservatives, physical conservatives, there's the libertarians, there's all types of political identities, but as the Christians of America stand, so the country goes. You know, Woodrow Wilson was the first progressive to really make a mark. And a progressive, to give you an overview of a progressive, basically says that the Constitution of our country no longer is relevant, that it should be revised. So the standards our country were based on is not really where America should go. We are now in a proclaimed progressive form of government. We see this in the executive branch has proclaimed itself progressive and decided that America does not necessarily have to stick with the basis she was founded on. And get this right, okay? Our founding fathers, 234 years ago, brought forth a document that laid down certain standards. Now, I want you to understand, there's a lot of baloney put out saying that all our founding fathers were Christians. They were not all Christians. But they all were scared to death of Jehovah God. Got that? They may not have accepted Jesus Christ, but they had a great fear of God and a great respect of God. And they created a document through much trials, tribulations, arguments, compromises, that set forth some standards that this country would be founded on. And those foundations said that we would be based in part on a fear of God, a respect of God, and that we would determine God's justice would be the justice administered in our nation. Well, that's where we started. Now, we have drifted back and forth throughout the years. This country has done some horrible things. We've determined a man's fate based on the color of his skin. We've seized lands from people based on their ethnic identity. We've created a document that called Manifest Destiny that said we had a right to seize anything we wanted because we were America. All bad things. But the country never drifted from a basic fear of Jehovah God. And the country was always filled with people who had a respect and a reverence for Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Sadly, at some point, we have become ungrateful. We have forgotten. We have saved other countries. We have gone and fought war after war. We have liberated people and we have enslaved people. We have sat as the world's greatest superpower. We've held all those positions, not taking the time, I'm afraid, to say, God, I know where our power came from. Now, I want again to emphasize this to you. As you see Christians behave in America, so you will see where America goes. And today I want to talk to you about being grateful as a Christian. I want to talk to you about being grateful as a nation. I want to tell you that I believe our country is not necessarily under God's judgment, and I realize a lot of my peers in churches today will be saying we're under the judgment of God. I don't necessarily believe that. I do believe that God's protective hand has been lifted from this country in many instances. I look at 9/11, I look at Katrina, I look at the Gulf oil spill. I look at the things our country has ceased standing for, and I see that God possibly is saying to us, I'm going to give you a taste of what it would be if I didn't protect you from all these things, because I believe he has protected America. You look at our record in the wars. You look at the battles we fought. You look at our financial stability. The technology has been developed in this country. And in the last 120 years alone, folks, think of this. We've gone from barely getting a plane off the ground to going to the moon. 100 years. We drive cars that are unbelievable. We have technology that was a science fiction just a few years ago. This country is unbelievably blessed, but I'm afraid we've forgotten how to say thank you because the Christians in this country have forgotten how to say thank you. I'm going to give you some examples here in a minute. I worry. You know, as a pastor, I'm going to be perfectly honest with you. I have a lot of failures. My greatest failure, I feel, as a pastor, to the point that I've almost resigned the church a couple of times, is in my inability to get the members of a church to understand we must gather together and pray. I have not been able to get that across. And it worries me because I know my God. I know I serve a jealous God. I know I serve a God who, when people turn from him, he lifts his hand of protection off of them to let them see what it would be like. The reason I say I don't think we're under judgment yet is because I look through Scripture. When God handed out judgment on a nation, they were either brought under pestilence where they had nothing, famine, or captivity. The whole country. We in America have seen little pockets of things happen. I don't believe God has cursed our nation, but I believe he has somewhat lifted his hand of protection. Let me give you an example. This year, this oil spill in the Gulf is a horrible thing, folks. It doesn't matter what side of the political spectrum you fall on. It is a horrible thing. April, the Jewish calendar is different than our calendar, okay? Remember the covenant with Abraham God made in Genesis 12, I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. A promise from God to Abraham that those of the world who stood by the Jewish people would be blessed, and those who turned against the Jewish people would be cursed. If you go to Matthew 25, you can look at the sheep goat judgment. Israel celebrated this year because their calendar fell different. Their Independence Day in the first part of April this year, that was when they celebrated their independence in the state. Our government stood up on April 19th and said, we will no longer just allow a free pass to Israel in the UN. If something comes up, it doesn't mean we're going to stand by Israel anymore. We'll have to look at it case by case. April 20th, the Gulf oil spill happened, or the explosion of that rig. One day after, our country made the statement, we may not stand by Israel anymore. Now, I'm not one of these guys that's going to get slobber running out of my mouth and sweat pouring down my arms and telling you going to hell tomorrow. That's not me. But I am smart enough that when God says something and I see somebody go against what God said and something falls, I'm smart enough. My wife explains to me how it works, and I can grasp the fact that something here says that when the United States says we may not stand by Israel and all of a sudden a catastrophe happens, it's a wake-up call. Something is saying, America, you're losing your roots. Let me give you an example, and then we're going to read some more scripture, okay? Let's talk about this just a minute. Let's say that all of us live in a neighborhood, okay? We all live in the same neighborhood. We're neighbors, all right? Now, in this neighborhood is one really good person. Let's pick a really good person. Who wants to be a... I'm sorry, Carol, you don't qualify. All right, Carol can be the really good person. All right? Now, let's say that Brian over here is out of work. He has no way to make a living, and Carol takes care of Brian and finds him a job. Is that nice? That's good, huh? Let's say Paul back here has illness in his family. That this person is so sick, they're going to die. And Carol gets the best medical treatment and heals, brings healing to that member of Paul's family. Good stuff, right? Let's say that Ben over here has absolutely no hope. He's depressed. He's down. He's beat up. Life is horrible for him. Carol comes over and talks to Ben and brings him up. Is that good stuff or what? Okay, let's say that, oh goodness, listen, Jason back here. Jason doesn't know what to do with his future. He doesn't know where to go. Carol goes over and talks to Jason. She sets him on the right path and gets him straight. Let's say that Yancey back here has loss in his family. He's lost family members and he's grieving. And Carol goes and talks with Yancey and brings him comfort, puts her arms around him and holds him. Carol's a good person, is that right? Now, let's just say that everybody in the neighborhood says, you know what? Once a week, I'm going to go to Carol's house and tell her thank you. That's a pretty good idea, isn't it? Do you think she deserves that? Say that everybody in the neighborhood has experienced something that Carol helped them do. And the neighborhood decides, once a week, we're going to get together at Carol's house and say thank you. Now, say Warren back here is just stubborn. Okay, not Warren. That doesn't fit his qualities, him at all. Let's say Warren says, I ain't going. I'll call her once in a while and say thank you. Let's say that, oh, gosh. Jerry back here says, oh, I don't have time to get over to her house. I'll send her a card now and then. Folks, what do you think about that? Does Carol deserve a visit? I mean, does she deserve once a week? I mean, give her an hour and say, thank you, Carol. Then why can't we get the fact that to come to God's house once a week on a Wednesday night for an hour and say, thank you, God, why can't we get it through our heads that that's what we need to do? Because the neighborhood decided, this church decided, we would come together and pray. You know what we do on Wednesday nights? I'm going to tell you, because a lot of folks here have never been on a Wednesday night. We gather together and we talk about unspoken prayer requests, requests people don't want to verbalize. But then we spend a great deal of time on answered prayer. Now, sadly, many of us who are talking about the answered prayer aren't the people that had the answered prayer. See, those folks sent a card in. They made a phone call. Didn't have time to come to God's house. They just had time to send a card, make a phone call. Well, we spend a great deal of time talking about how God has blessed the people in this town. And it's not just in this church. Then we hold up requests to God. Sadly, again, some of those requests are called in or mailed in. They're not brought to God's house. I want to ask you something. If that was true story of Carol, and we were all supposed to go visit Carol once a week, if you were Carol, how much longer would you keep helping people if they didn't have time to say thank you? It'd be kind of hard, huh? There'd come a point when you'd say, I've tried and I've tried. And I'm afraid America's got there, and I'm afraid churches have got there, and I'm afraid us Christians have got there. And folks, I'm realistic. There's times you can't be there. But because you can't doesn't mean you shouldn't understand. Do you remember, all of you that are parents, if somebody comes and gives your child something, what is the first thing a parent does? What's the first thing out of their mouth? Did you say thank you? Is that not true? Isn't that what you do with your kids? If right now, if I had any money, I don't have any money, wife won't let me have any, but if I handed your kids some money, the first thing you would say would be, did you say thank you? Isn't that the proper thing? When did we stop saying thank you? Now you say, Pastor, gosh, I thank God at home. Let me tell you something. God said in His Word, do not forsake the assembling together of the saints. Do not forsake it. If we don't have the time as a country to say thank you, as a people to say thank you, as individuals to say thank you, something's wrong. Something is very, very wrong. God has given us a taste of if He lifted His hand. And I'm going to give you a scripture story here in a minute. In fact, if you would, turn over to 2 Chronicles chapter 12. Does anybody remember who Rehoboam was in scripture? Whose son was he? Okay. Who was Solomon, this guy's dad? Wisest man that ever lived, correct? Not necessarily a good king, not necessarily followed God, but he was the wisest man there ever. Now, he had a son named Rehoboam. Let's talk about this guy for just a minute. 2 Chronicles chapter 12. And it came to pass, when Rehoboam had established the kingdom and had strengthened himself, he forsook the law of the Lord and all Israel with him. And it came to pass that in the fifth year of King Rehoboam, Shishak, king of Egypt, came against Jerusalem because they had transgressed against the Lord with 1,200 chariots and 70,000 horsemen, and the people were without number that came with him out of Egypt, the Lubims, the Sukkims, and the Ethiopians. And he took the fenced cities which pertained to Judah and came to Jerusalem. Then came Shemaiah the prophet to Rehoboam and to the princes of Judah that were gathered together to Jerusalem because of Shishak, and said unto them, thus saith the Lord, you have forsaken me, and therefore I also left you in the hand of Shishak. Pretty desperate situation, isn't it? God said to Rehoboam, you've abandoned me, so I'm placed you in the hand of this one over here, the king of Egypt. Now what happened? Whereupon the princes of Israel and the king humbled themselves, and they said, the Lord is righteous. Now what does God do? And when the Lord saw that they humbled themselves, the word of the Lord came to Shemaiah, saying, they have humbled themselves, therefore I will not destroy them, but I will grant them some deliverance, and my wrath shall not be poured out upon Jerusalem by the hand of Shishak. Nevertheless, they shall be his servants, that they may know my service and the service of the kingdoms of the country. So Shishak, the king of Egypt, came up against Jerusalem and took away the treasures of the house of the Lord, and the treasures of the king's house he took all. He carried away also the shields of gold which Solomon had made. What did God do to Israel to this king Rehoboam? A young man was given a kingdom. The young man turned his back on God. God sent punishment, judgment. But the young man humbled himself, and God says, okay, stop. I will not bring my wrath upon you, but nevertheless, Nevertheless, you are going to suffer great loss. And they lost all the treasures of the temple. And they became servants. Folks, when we turn away from God, you don't have to believe me. In your personal lives, as a country, we can stop God's wrath with prayer and humbleness. But we're still going to suffer the consequences of our actions. This country saw 9/11 happen. Nothing has ever hit this our land like that. We saw Katrina hit New Orleans. All of this in the last 10 years, folks. Is it not wise for us to say, for some reason, God is not protecting us the way He used to? Can't we be wise enough to realize when you're getting hit with things that has never... Do you know that catastrophes have increased 400% in the last 40 years in this country? 400%. I pulled the graph from the National Seismographic Organization that showed earthquakes around the world. They have doubled and tripled in the last 40 to 50 years. We're facing judgment, but we can humble ourselves. We still have the loss, folks. That oil ain't going to quit leaking into the Gulf for a while. We're suffering the consequences. But how many other wells do you believe would have leaked if God wasn't protecting this country? How many other Katrinas would have hit this land if Almighty God wasn't protecting this country? How many wars have we been in that nobody could reach the shores of America because God protected this country? Yet we've had a taste at 9/11. We saw Katrina hit a city that has turned a religious thing into a celebration of nudity and wild sex, and God allowed something to hit that city. We see the shores of our country turning black from oil. This same substance that men kill for, now it rolls on the shores of our country, killing our wildlife and devastating the economy. Why? Folks, when God is in control, God protects people. When a country realizes God is in control, then a country receives God's protection. When a Christian realizes God's in control, the Christian receives protection. But yet, folks, I tell you again, we have forgotten how to say thank you, Lord. Remember the story of the 10 lepers? I was going to put it on the screen, but we're going to do things a little different this morning. I'm just going to paraphrase it. These 10 lepers, Jesus comes, they cry out for healing. Jesus heals them, they go away, and one comes back to say thank you. One. Now that's where I see America. I see countries all over this world, and America turned back and said thank you, God, and man, He built her up. She became such a blessed gift nation. Don't get me wrong. Israel is God's chosen people. But America receives such dynamic blessings. And you don't have to like Israel's politics. I don't like Israel's politics. But if our country turns on Israel, we have no clue what it's going to be like. America, we call her America the Beautiful. And she is the beautiful, folks. She's beautiful because she serves a living God. But we've forgotten how to say thank you. Now let me ask you a question. What kind of form of government do you want to live under? Communism. Communism says that the government tells you where to live and work, and the government will provide your bare necessities. Sad thing is this. The government determines what your necessities are. All right? So you get what they say. Or do you want socialism? Socialism is not terrible bad. It simply means that no matter how hard Steve works, his piece of pie is the same as Ben's if Ben doesn't work. There's no incentive for, there's no reason for Ben to work because at the end of the time, his piece of pie is the same size as Steve's piece of pie. So it doesn't really motivate you to do a whole lot, does it? You could have a monarchy where a royal decrees determine your existence. Or you could have a democracy. How many like democracy? Anybody? Nah, you don't want democracy. True democracy ends up in anarchy, okay? In a true democracy, everybody's opinion equals the same. So what are you doing? You're all fighting, okay? Or do you want a republic? A democratic republic. How many would like to have that? Now raise your hands. You're all right, all smart. That's what America is. It's a government that's run by representatives we elect. And so all of our opinions, we have a right to feed to our representative, who then should balance what is the good for everyone and make a decision and vote based on the good of all the people that person represents. Okay? That's their job. Not political affiliation, whether they're in a bad mood, whether their girlfriend ran off and their wife found out, no matter what happened, their vote should be based on the good of the people they represent. That's a republic, a representative form of government. That's what America is supposed to be. America was founded in this manner, that we would honor God and that we would see representatives in government, regardless of their personal opinion, who would not determine for the public what was best for them, but would find what was best for the public and vote in that manner. That's a republic form of government. It's a wonderful thing if it works right. And it did for many years. Because America stood and she said, thank you, God, for the blessings we've received. And even all those dark things that we did as a country, we never forgot to turn back to God and say thank you. Never forgot. Last year, our president stood up and told the world, we are not a Christian nation. I'm not here today to bash any of our government officials because, folks, I don't believe we've had in the last 35 years or so a real government. I liked Ronald Reagan, okay? Whether you did or not, I liked O'Ronnie. But government started growing in the Reagan administration. It hasn't slowed down since. Now, government is so big that the vote of your representatives is based on government, not on people. In other words, if I'm a Democrat, what can I do to make my party bigger? If I'm a Republican, what can I do to make my party bigger? It has nothing to do with common man. And the scary thing about it is that the men making the decisions no longer acknowledge God is in control. If we're not a Christian nation, what are we? What are we? There is nobody, and I don't care who they are, that has a right to say for me that I'm not a Christian. Nobody. Whether they be Republican or Democrat, they have not that right. I did not vote for that. What I did vote for is a country I believe in, that I fought for, that I live for, that I say that our country must remember to say thank you, God. Do you understand that if God's people gather together, if God's people humble themselves before God, do you know what God says? Those who are called by my name, back to 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, so who are God's people? That's the easy one. Everyone who calls himself a Christian, are they God's people? If they know the Lord, yes, they are. Are you God's people? Are you understanding that he's talking about his people? If my people, which are called by my name, what is his name? Jesus Christ, Jehovah God. It is not Allah. You understand that? It is not the Hindu gods. It is not the gods, the dead gods out there. It is Jehovah God. And we are known by the name of Jesus Christ, we are called Christians. If my people, which are called by my name, shall do what? Humble themselves. What does that mean to you? What's it mean to be humble? Let me tell you, and you're not going to like it. It means that if the church gathers on a Wednesday night to say thank you, God, your own personal interests are not more important than saying thank you, God. That is to humble yourself. That is to fall on your knees before God. And you can say, Pastor, I do it at the house. Okay, praise God, do it at the house. Give him an hour on your knees on Wednesday. I'm happy. It's like people tell me I can go to the mountains and worship God. Yeah, you can. You can. If that's why you're going. But don't say you're going to the mountains camping and fit God in for 15 seconds and call it his trip. We must humble ourselves. We must recognize what he has done for us. I know most of you really well. God has blessed you way beyond your means. It's kind kind of like me. I'm educated way beyond my intelligence, folks, way beyond my intelligence. He has blessed you and given you and handed to you. Have you had hard times? Yes, but you've always known God was there and He took care of you. We must humble ourselves and realize we are not more important than God. If you stand in a place where your time and your interests are make you too busy to thank God, then you're headed to where America's at, and that's God's going to lift His hand off of you, and you're going to feel the sting. You're going to feel it. If they shall humble themselves, and what's the next thing they're supposed to do?
Pray.
I wondered how y'all got it. I just realized it's up there, huh? Pray. Pray. What's it mean to pray? What do you start prayer out with? You ever said the Lord's Prayer? How many have said the Lord's Prayer? Now, I don't believe it should be used as a liturgical thing to recite, but Christ said, in this manner pray ye. How does it start? Our Father who art in heaven, what does it say? Hallowed be. So how does a prayer start? Reverence for God, glory to God, holiness of God, set aside. The Bible said God holds His name holy above all things. Yet when a country says, I'm not even affiliated with God, are we recognizing a holy God? When God's people, their prayers start with, God, I need this, are we recognizing the holiness of God? Jesus said, pray in this manner. Say, Dad, that signifies a personal relationship. Dad, you're the greatest dad in the world. And I want to acknowledge that before I talk about anything else. My people shall humble themselves and pray. What did they got to do next? Right up here. Seek my face. What does it mean to seek God's face? The Bible's full of things about times that God quit looking upon people. If you're in a spot in your life because of sin, that God is not looking upon you, folks, doesn't mean He's deserted you. He says, I will never leave you nor forsake thee. But the Bible has many instances where He turned and quit looking on His people when they were full of sin. If you're in a place in your life, if our country's in a place in her life to where God has quit looking upon her to protect her, or has quit looking upon you to protect you, you need to seek His face. That requires repentance. What does repentance mean? Does it mean I'm sorry? How many think that repentance means I'm sorry? How many things repentance means changing what you're doing? Amen. It does. That is repentance, folks. That is turning from what you're doing wrong. It doesn't mean getting up in the morning and say, oh God, I'm not going to do what I did yesterday today because I want your blessings this morning. As soon as I get them, God, though I'm right back where I was at. No, repentance means a heartbreaking experience that you realize you're hurting God. And to turn from that behavior and walk away from it. That is seeking His face. If you can't find His face and where you're at right now in your life, if our country can't find His face, then folks, our country needs to repent. And she will only repent when the Christians in America do what the Bible says and we seek His face. As goes God's people in this country, so goes the country. Now, we are in a mess, and we're in a mess for one reason, not because there's bad people in the world. Not true. We're in a mess because the Christians don't have the guts to say no more. If 50 years ago we would have said, that's it, government, no more, the government would have had to listen. They would have had to. See, I served the biggest guy on the block, Jehovah God. And if I'm faithful and true to Him, He will take care of me. But our country has forgotten to say, thank you, God. They've forgotten to do it because God's people, which are called by His name, have forgotten to take the time to say, thank you. And I'm not talking about the stuff we do when we say grace. I've told you this before. I feel such shame that sometimes in a restaurant, when I pray over my food, if you would ask me what I said, I couldn't tell you. Because I recite a few words. Boom, get it done, get dug in. Today we're going to celebrate the 4th of July by having Chinese food. a godly thing to do. And I'm going to pray over that food. And oh Lord, I hope that I'll remember what I said when I said thank you. I'm not talking about rehearsed speeches or now I lay me down to sleep. Because there's a lot of adults still pray that same way, okay? I'm talking about seeking God's face with prayer that's on a personal level. That says, God, you've done so much for me. What can I do now for my friends, for the neighborhood? What can I do now for my country? What can I do that those who live around me will look at me and say, where am I going? And I'll say, I'm going to church. And eventually they'll say, let me go with you. Or I'm going to church to thank my God for the blessings in my life. And they say, wow, that's a real believer right there that can spare a little time for their God. After we seek His face, we turn from the wicked ways. We've talked about repentance. Then God makes a promise. Then will I hear from heaven. Where do you want God to hear you from? Don't you want the universe to be open to your prayer? Don't you want Almighty God to hear your little voice sitting in your little room in your little house? Don't you want the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, to hear that sound that you utter up to Him? Don't you want to hear it? Then will I hear from heaven. So all we got to do is what it says. Humble ourselves, seek His face, pray. We've got to do those things, folks. Turn from our wicked ways, and our country will turn back to who she was. I'm not here to worship America. I'm here to worship the God that made America, that made her what she is, that made her a country we could be so proud of, and I'm still proud of my country no matter what goes on. But I'm not proud of the fact that my country no longer acknowledges my God. 1962, they took prayer out of the schools. You know what happened in the next 11 years? Teen pregnancy increased 500%. So what did we do about it? We passed a law that says, kill the babies. You don't want them, kill them. So we brought around abortion and said, you know, all these little kids having babies, we don't know why as a government, don't understand why this just happened. And us Christians should have known, well, you pulled prayer out of school, our kids aren't praying. So 11 years later, they had a problem they didn't know what to do with. So government decided it's legal to kill them. Get rid of them. Well, that's stopped working now. So what is the government doing now? In New Mexico, your middle school children can walk in a public health clinic in their school, get birth control and condoms with no parental consent. Children as young as 13 years of age. Massachusetts just passed a law that says that any child that wants a condom as young as a first grader can have it without a parent being notified. Arkansas has a 10-year-old child leading their gay pride parade. What are we doing to our children? Tell me God is happy with where we're headed. Folks, this is the closest you will ever see me to hellfire and brimstone. If we don't stop it, we're all going to see our country go to hell. We are. If we turn our back on Israel, you're going to see the United States suffer. Folks, if you don't believe me, look at the countries around the world that are persecuted, where the church is persecuted. Do you know millions of people are saved in a country that's persecuted? God is going to get the world's attention one way or another. If He has to persecute America to get His people to wake up, He'll do it. He'll do it. More people were saved in China in the last 20 years than we have record of since Christ was here. Isn't that amazing? But the church was persecuted. I don't know about you, but I want to do it voluntarily. I want to turn from my wicked ways. I want my country to turn. I want my brothers and sisters in the neighborhood, my neighbors, to gather together to thank God and say, please save our nation. That's what I want. Otherwise, well, I'm going to have to take it the way God hands it out. And I can't complain. We all suffer loss, and there's probably many of you here this morning who are thinking, you know, this has absolutely pertains to me in no way. I live a good life. I go to church. I tithe. I support the church. I pray. I read my Bible. God bless you. I'm talking to those in here today who have allowed the world to change us instead of us changing the world. The church has no impact anymore because the world now impacts the church. We're user-friendly. We're seeker-friendly. We are not gospel-friendly. The gospel says we serve a jealous God. When we worship our time and our money more than we worship our God, when we don't have the time to say thank you, we're rude, we're irresponsible, and we're not good children. Folks, love America. That old flag means so much because so many have died for it. She's been so blessed. There's not a one of us here today that have not experienced the joy of being an American. But I can remember only 30 years ago that when I was sent overseas to countries, I could walk down the streets and people were constantly coming up and shaking my hand because I was an American. When I got to England, those older people that lived through World War II, they could not wait to say thank you. I lived about 30 miles off base and they would do anything for me because I was an American. Now, folks, it's a little scary to go anywhere because I'm American. The world does no longer see Jehovah God reflected in us. The world now sees that we're just like everybody else. Just that right now we have bigger sticks to hit with. That's coming to an end. Take your time today. Love your country. Repent. Humble yourself. Seek His face. Turn from our wicked ways. Take a little time to gather in the neighborhood and say, thank you, God. Please stand. Brian, do you mind if I... Have you already got something? What were you in?
Open the eyes of power.
The who?
Open the eyes of power.
Oh, okay. That's, you know, I want to get excited. Can we do 116? Do you mind? I beat you up. Now we're going to sing it up. 116, victory in Jesus. Because you're an American, you've had victory in Jesus. Okay? Bow your heads, close your eyes. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for your word that gives me instruction, for your voice in my heart that gives me peace or gives me conviction. I thank you for this great country, this great land that was formed over 200 years ago, dear God, and that you blessed her. Dear God, I pray this day that each of us take the time to look at where we're at. Are we a part of the movement of Christianity that will change this nation? Or are we just the complacent, irresponsible Christians that sit in their houses, turn on the TV, and weep about their problems and do nothing about it? In thy name we pray. Amen.